Good morning. I hope everyone's having a great quarantine, especially now that this is Sunday morning, to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. Before I give a little short brief talk on it, we're going to sing How Deep the Father's Love. Minds to the scene of the crossing of the Jordan River. And that might seem weird for a Lord's Supper talk, but hear me out. It always struck me as odd that when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea after God demonstrating his mighty power to them, the wall of water on one side and the wall of water on the other, what a spectacular sight it would have been and would have been on their minds. But God left no memorial for them to look at that later other than a song. We can see that Moses and the Israelites lifted up a song in Exodus 15, and then Miriam and the ladies lifted up a song, and they made that song as in perpetuity for the song for the sons of Israel to remember that event. But then later, as they cross the Jordan River, the same event happens. The water is blocked up. They walk across on dry land, but nowhere near the spectacular sight of walking through the Red Sea. And yet, when they get to the other side, we look in Joshua, and at the end of Joshua chapter 4, after we read of their crossing, God says to Joshua in the beginning parts of chapter 4 to grab one man from each of the 12 tribes. And each one of those men is to grab a stone and set it up in the middle of the river and on the side of the river, marking where they crossed. And God says to them in Joshua 4, verse 21, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall inform your children, saying, 'Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground.'"
This was the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham years before, hundreds of years before, that he would give them the promised land. This is that momentous occasion, and God has them mark it with a memorial, so that when their children, when their grandchildren ask them later on as they're in the land, what are these stones for? They're to be able to tell them, this was what happened. This was when we came into the land. Well, in another way, as we direct our attention to the Lord's Supper and implements there, the bread and the fruit of the vine, Jesus, in that scene right before his betrayal in the Last Supper, as it's called, in that upper room as he celebrates Passover with his closest friends and apostles, as he's sitting there and he tells them what's going to happen, and he institutes the Lord's Supper. This is a momentous occasion. This too is the fulfillment to God's promise made to Abraham that through his seed all nations of the earth would be blessed. And the people did not realize what a momentous occasion that was. And yet here we are, still able to partake of that memorial that was set up. So that when our children, when our grandchildren ask us, why do you partake of the bread? Why do you drink of the fruit of the vine every first day of the week? It's so we can say it's in remembrance of him. In fact, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26, a familiar passage to us, he tells us that he told the Corinthian brethren that he received it directly from the Lord. And here's what he writes in verses 23-26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. How deep was the Father's love for us that he sent his only Son that he might die in the place of those who were guilty. The just for the unjust, as 1 Peter 3:18 tells us, that he should sacrifice his body and his blood on our behalf. This was in the ultimate fulfillment to the promise made to Abraham thousands of years ago that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And you and I are recipients of that. So this morning, though we might be miles apart, I'm hoping that you might be huddled with your families, you might be huddled in groups of 10 or less as we suffer through this quarantine, apart but virtually together. Wherever you are, that you might direct your minds and think about the sacrifice made for you and on the bread that we're about to partake. Let us go to God, our Heavenly Father, in prayer and give thanks for this bread and the promise that he made in thinking of us so many years ago. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you giving thanks for this bread, knowing that it represents your Son's body that he willingly, lovingly gave on our behalf, knowing that it was to us the stroke was due, and yet he took it upon himself that we might be renewed, that we might be justified, that we might have a home with you forever. We give you all thanks, our praise, and all love that's due you for that sacrifice, and ask that you be with us as we partake. In Christ's name, amen. Give everyone a few seconds to partake of the bread they may have prepared, and then we will turn our attention to the cup. Again, reading from 1 Corinthians 11, this time verses 25 and 26, we'll read them again. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. The old was being done away with, and something new was going to take its place. The Hebrew writer in chapters 8 through 10 tells us in painstaking detail that the old law was made obsolete at his death, and that he might bring us into a better covenant with better promises. So, he says, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us always remember the sacrifice and the freedom for sin was paid in our blood. Freedom is always required the cost of blood. And then for our eternity, to live with him forever, it requires nothing less than the blood of the sinless Lamb of God. Let us reflect on these things as we go to God in prayer once more. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you again, thanking you for the awesome sacrifice that your Son made on our behalf, to willingly, lovingly die, shedding his blood on that cross, knowing aforetime what was going to take place, and yet saying, your will be done and not his own. We ask you, Father, to be with us as we partake of this cup, as we partake of the fruit of the vine, which represents that new covenant with better promises, that covenant and his blood that washes away all sins. We ask you, Father, to be with us as we do so in remembrance of that sacrifice, and to give you all praise, thanks, and honor and love that's due you. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. As you reflect on these things concerning the Lord's Supper, I'm going to turn this video off, and we will resume again as we talk about three crosses on Calvary.